Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Fan Reviews. Today I have a fabulous guest, Marco Vanditti. Welcome. And he's going to discuss his short In Pigeon. It's not really a short, people. I only got to see a trailer, so this is going to be a different thing. Usually I can devolve and dig in a bit more, so Marco's going to have to help give me a lot of lifting tonight. So welcome to the show.
No problem. Thank you.
What does the title mean? Let's start there.
Sorry, what did you say? What was the question?
The title of the film. What does that mean? I mean, I'm just seeing a very quick short.
Right. So the title is Knockin' Killin' Mary, which in Pidgin, which is the language of Papua New Guinea, it means don't kill our women. Knockin' Killin' mean killing. Mary, I suppose they get it from Mother Mary, I suppose that's how they call women here. Mary. So don't kill our women.
So how did you get involved in this project? I mean, I mean, obviously I see a trailer. I don't even know where it takes place. I mean, it's very quick. It's a minute. I don't even know what's going on. So you're going to have to help me a lot here.
Well, I'm sorry if we didn't deliver the message in 1 minute.
I'll be very honest. I was very confused by the end of it.
Well, that's not good then. A trailer should give you a little bit of a sense of what is happening.
I see a bunch of army guys. I know it's got something to do with an army. Of some kind, a commander or general.
An army.
I don't know. The guy in the white jacket.
Are we talking about the same trailer you watched?
I must have watched wrong. I watched your trailer. I did. Go ahead. Talk about it anyway. I'll pick
this
off
is.
You.
I don't think there is anybody in a white thing, so I'm a bit confused by that comment.
Maybe I'm getting confused because I watched too much stuff.
Maybe the documentary is about a pretty tough subject, which is sorcery accusation related violence. So meaning people have been accused of sorcery in Papua New Guinea, especially women, and they're often tortured and in many cases killed for being accused of performing sorcery against other people.
So like voodoo or actual sorcery?
So it's a very strong and sorry?
Voodoo or actual sorcery? Two different things or the same thing in this country?
Well, I mean, in other parts, it's not exactly the same thing. You know, in other parts of the world, they call it voodoo or you know, there are different, you know, you might want to have an anthropologist sort of take on the issue. But it's here they called it sorcery, but it's essentially when somebody dies in this part of the world, people just don't believe in natural death unless you are a very old person or you die for violent death. But if anybody catches a disease, and we're talking about very rural and distant and remote communities here, we're not talking about urban centers, and the majority of the people in Papua New Guinea do live in rural areas, you know, kilometers away from any urban centers. And when somebody dies in this village, the majority of the people believe that something was done. Somebody has caused the death of that person, and it's not because it's a disease. They don't even understand medicine most of the time. They have no hospitals around it or no contact with conventional medicine. So they think it's somebody has done something, an act of sorcery or witchcraft, and therefore the village has to choose who was the person that did that to a leader. For instance, if it is an important person that dies in the village or a young person, all of a sudden, you know, somebody might have a heart attack or whatever that is, they'll say, okay, somebody has done something, is one of our enemies, is somebody that is jealous or this and that. So therefore they perform some sort of rituals and they'll come out with somebody randomly to say that's the one responsible. And most of the time are women. They choose women as responsible for the death of other people. And they start to torture them to ask them to confess. They torture them and ask them to confess that it was them that did it. And most of the time under pressure, obviously under torture, a lot of people confess. Yes, it was me, da, 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 and that's, you know, I did this and I did that. So, and that's when they go after maybe even their families. It's a huge problem that has been going on here for what we understand for a really long time. But because social media these days is coming to fore, in the sense that now they film this horrific satanic sort of rituals when they torturing women, pretty much crucifying them and then burning them to death and all of that. And now, because they have phones in these rural areas, they film this stuff and then it goes on social media. And it's the first time that these images are being revealed to the public, even though everybody in this country do know, and a lot of people believe in sorcery.
Okay, so how did you come
Cool.
onto the project? You didn't go to Papua New Guinea, you just took the footage and made a
I
short
live
film out of it?
here. I live
Oh.
here. Yeah, I live in Papua New Guinea. I've been in Papua New Guinea almost 10 years now. I have a daughter here and I'm a filmmaker and I've been working in a lot of issues, mostly social issues in this country, because this country faces tremendous issues. And when I came across something as astonishing as that, I just couldn't look somewhere else. You know,
No,
it was
absolutely
so,
not.
it's completely crazy. And I just, you know, I it's not that I went looking for it. It just came to me in a way. I met this nun. She's from Switzerland, and she's heavily involved in sort of saving some of these women, try to rescue them when they're being captured in the villages. She negotiates with the villagers and she manages sometimes to get them out of the most horrific situations of their lives, and then she tries to rehabilitate them. She has a rehabilitation center where she tries to reconstruct these people after, if they survive the injuries, because sometimes she might take them to the hospital, but the injuries are too severe and they don't survive the ordeal, you know, because
Okay.
they
So
die many
I don't
reasons.
want to put anybody in trouble. Is the place she takes them far away to rehabilitate them?
Sorry?
The woman takes,
She.
if she could negotiate for the people, you told me she, they take her somewhere. Is
Yeah.
that far away? Like a different
Yeah,
country
well,
or?
she. No, she lives in the same area. You know, she lives in one of the regions, which is called Southern Islands, Highlands, because there are highlands in plateaus. There are. Papua New Guinea is the only country in the Pacific that is does not have just sort of atolls and islands and all that. Has really high mountains in the interior, up to 4,000 meters high, and a chain of mountains. And is the only country in the Pacific that has that kind of topography. And the majority of these events happen deep inside the interior of Papua New Guinea, in very remote areas. And she does live in one of these remote areas, in an urban center that is there, if you can call it so, which is called Mendi, and it's the capital of Southern Islands. And she has a rehabilitation there and another rehabilitation even more remote where she keeps these women. But she's protected by the community where she works, let's say. It's not a work, it's her mission, really. And she's sort of, you know, she has some sort of protection from the local in that specific area where she sort of, you know, does her work.
Okay, like you open up. How did you find out about her then?
I found out her through some other work that I was doing in terms of documentaries. I came across to some of her interviews that she did, so I decided that I would have liked to spend some time with her. So I went to spend about a week in her rehabilitation center, and I saw the way she was working with these women. And I saw the work that she was trying to do also in the community, try to basically stop this madness and convince police, magistrates, you know, and everybody else to sort of get involved seriously in this issue, because everybody knows about it, but not much has been done at an institutional level to try to stop it, which is a very complicated affair. Even for the police, if they would have the means to do something, if they go close to the villages, most of the time the villagers are protecting the perpetrators. They're protecting the people that that sort of conducted these tortures, because they think that these people are liberating the village from evil spirits. And they think that they're actually doing a good job to get rid of these women, some, you know, most of the time. So even if the police will try to go in, which most of the time they don't even try, but if they would, most of the time they do face that resistance. And these people are actually very heavily armed as well. That's an area of the country in PNG which is very violent for tribal wars. You know, different tribes in constant fight among themselves, and they have they're heavily armed. So it's a very difficult situation. Yeah.
Like, are you worried about your safety after this film comes out?
No, not at all. I mean, in the sense that. Maybe I should. I don't know now that you're saying, but
Well, I'm just asking for
I
what the
don't, in
topic
the
is.
sense that I mean, perhaps if I would be living in those areas, maybe yes, but I do live in Port Moresby, which is the capital of Papua New Guinea, and it's an urban center. It's by the coast. It's facing south towards Australia, very, very close to Australia. And it's obviously a different ball game down here. I do go up there when I did go up there when I had to film. But obviously I don't live there or anything like it. There is a general consensus in the country that this has to come to an end. But the problem is so difficult to solve that it's very difficult actually to try to fix it, see, frankly, because the majority of the people in these rural areas do believe in this stuff. So it's not like a single person that decides to torture a woman secretly in his basement. It's something that happens in the village, in the central, you know, part of the village. If it was in Europe, it would be a square, but there's no square, there's just villages, and this sort of things happen in front of everybody, and most of the time even kids take part of these events. You know, they're like spectators while women are tortured, you know. So there's a lot of kids in that area that grow up or seeing that kind of stuff. Imagine where you're from. What part of the world are you from?
I'm in Canada, so we have
In
nothing like
Canada.
this at
So
all.
imagine that when you were 7 years old, you know, as an afternoon entertainment, you have seen a woman being tortured to death with your friends.
I guess it would be a regular occurrence. I guess I would be accepting of it because everybody else is accepting of it. I find it
Yeah,
very
but think.
strange now to say at 7 years old I was watching this, knowing what I know now.
Yeah, but imagine what would it do to your beliefs, you know, what is right and what is wrong, what is
I think it
possible
would blend them.
to do.
I don't think I would know because the thing is, I always argue ignorance sometimes is bliss, right? It really is, because if you don't know, you don't
True.
know. But if this is their culture and they're
True.
accepting of this culture, who am I to change that culture? I don't agree with it, but should I be changing it as a white person? I don't think I should. It's not my culture.
I
I
think
don't
the
agree with it
documentary
in
in a
any
way
way.
raises the, right. I think this documentary raises this issue as well, and there is a lot of people that probably will frown to the attempt of somebody to try to stop it. But there is a one thing that I think we all believe in, which is human rights.
Yes.
And to take the life away of another person out of your belief is just not acceptable. It doesn't matter where you are.
I agree. How long is the film, by the way?
It's well, the original version is around 40 minutes. I think some of the festivals asked us if we could bring it down a notch, that according to where we are sending it. But I mean, if it is like a short, or because it's a little bit in between, it sits in like in between, you know, between a short and a
It
feature, you
does. It
know,
usually gets short.
a
It's
bit.
25 minutes is about pushing it for a short.
Yeah, so it's a bit, you know, we're trying to understand what to do with that. We have a lot much more footage, obviously, and a lot more work that can be done around it. So yeah, I mean, for me, it's not a question that I want to change or not to change or what to do, but it is something that it's so absurd that still exists in our moment in history. You know, because obviously Not sure if Canada went through it, but in Europe we did go through it, as you know, for a long time. In Europe, women used to be burned on the streets in
Not that I'm
London.
aware of in Canada.
Not in Canada, but in United States as well, as you know. So
States,
it's not
yes.
that, yeah. So United States, so they would, very, very famously so. So it's not something that hasn't happened in other part of the world. It's just very, very disturbing that it still happens, in the 21st century, and that so little has been done about it in this country, because it's very difficult to do something about it. And but it's also a question of gender as well, because women, obviously, in this part of the world, they're a bit in trouble, very often. It's a
So,
very tough society for women.
who did you talk to for the documentary? Obviously, I know you talked to this one woman. What other people did you talk to?
The United Nations supported the documentary, the United Nations Development Program, because they're also involved up there. They have they're trying to, help and work with the community in trying to stop this. So the documentary was supported by them as well, and there is the international also take on the story, plus the local take, so we're trying to sort of hear both sides of the story.
I'm trying to think. Do you think they'll ever air in Papua New Guinea?
Sorry?
Do you think they'll ever air where you are on TV, your documentary?
It did. It did. Not on TV. Not on TV. We presented it at the University of Papua New Guinea. But so there was also, it's an uncomfortable subject matter that, when something it's too ugly, it's pretty difficult to put it out there. It stinks and it's ugly and you don't want to look at it. And it's a human re it's a normal reaction in a way. Unfortunately, it is. When something is too horrible, you want to look away from it. And so as a filmmaker, I just frankly, I felt exactly the opposite. I couldn't look away from it. At the end of the day, films, documentary, whatever it is, becomes, from the audience, it becomes it's a subjective thing. Whatever you get out of it, whatever you make out of it, a lot of people will want to walk away or look away. It's how it is, right? And other people might see this as an opportunity to understand something that is happening in a part of the world, and what can be done about it as well on the long run.
Though
Because these
you're
women
on,
are really, yeah, go ahead.
no, I was letting you finish. Do all your films take place in Papua New Guinea, or do your other documentaries take
The
place in other
majority of,
places?
yeah, I've been, yeah, I've been working here for several years now. I worked also in Europe, but I got sort of fascinated in a way with this country, because the Papua New Guinea, it's known to be sort of a kind of a paradise for the anthropologists, because it's a very unique case, in this part of the world, in the sense that the people from the interior of Papua New Guinea came in touch with the Western world only in the 1930s. So you can imagine, and we're talking about millions of people, that they were living in these really isolated mountain valleys at 3,000 plus meters high, and so it offers a lot of opportunities and stories that you don't find very often as a documentarist in other parts of the world. It's a very intense and very brutal, in a way, society, and very it kind of brings to the fore, a certain, aspect of human nature that, quite interesting sometimes also to look. And but there are also beautiful things as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't think that this is a country that is in a constant state of war and all of that. There are also beautiful things. There can be also a very kind as well. They're very polite and all of that. But it's It's a unique country in that sense, because violence has been part of that part of the country for a very long time, because the tribes are in constant trouble warfare. So they understand war, violence, and things in a way that it's so almost belongs to our history books. And even though we express violence even more in other form, but not directly so much in society the way it is in PNG. And this is an expression of that as well. The understanding, the acceptance that you can't perform that sort of violence out of, what you believe in a very open way. So it's offers a lot of interesting stories, PNG. It's a mix, of beauty and a raw and very challenging stories.
So, are you going to make a follow-up to this?
Could, might. I made two documentaries already on the issue, so this is the second one, actually. So
Oh, okay. So you have made a follow-up about it.
I've been working because Sister Lorraine and I became, sort of quite close in a way, and I wanted to sort of document the work that she was doing there, and the kind of stories, this women that she finds and their story, what happened to them, how did they get into that kind of situations. And then I realized that most of the time it's not only the belief, the traditional belief about death and all that and all that, but it's also becomes a very material thing, in the sense that most of the time the women that get accused are widows, perhaps, that they might have maybe a piece of land
Aha.
that the people want, and population growth is an issue over there as well, and the available land is shrinking as the population is increasing, and so there is always wars about land, and women become often the target of that. That could be one of the reasons. Other reason is all polygamy as well. Men, polygamy is accepted in this part of the world, in the highlands, which is the plateau in the interior, and often, maybe this is one of the first wives that the man wants to get rid of because he wants to remarry, and there might be jealousies and that kind of things. There are different reasons and different retaliations that are connected to these acts sometimes, and is also mixed with the strong belief that natural death does not exist, somebody
Yeah,
else
you're
causes.
saying, which I find fascinating in this
Yeah.
time period that people wouldn't believe that.
They won't believe it. And it cannot be that you just have a heart attack and you die. That's
Exactly. It
nonsense.
had to be
That's
supernatural. I got it.
absolutely.
Okay. Can I have your favorite movie, please?
Yeah. Sorry, what did you say?
What's your favorite film?
Of all time, oh my Lord, that's a tough one. Oh, the other day I was thinking, I was looking again, One Who Flew the Cuckoo Nest with
Great film.
Jack Nicholson, and I'm, oh my God, this guy was good. What a film.
One documentary you recommend people watch if they haven't seen it?
Well, I mean, documentaries, it's for me, it's my bread and butter. I
I know,
love,
that's why I'm asking.
but you put me on the spot there. It's so difficult for me to choose what would be. Oh, there's one that I always think is such a funny one, and that is Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yes, I love that film. I do love that film. That's an excellent film.
I mean, Banksy is such an artist that when
Yes.
he realized that this Frenchman that was trying to make a film on him was useless, so he decided to make the film on
Himself.
the Frenchman. And it's just, I mean, it shows what a 360 degree artist this guy is. I mean, he's able to to be a better filmmaker and a better documentary filmmaker than he has ever touch the medium,
What is your next
you know.
topic you haven't gotten to yet, but you will this year?
Well, I'm following a number of stories on healthcare here because so healthcare is a big story in this country. Unfortunately, healthcare pretty much collapsed here because it was sort of kind of in rural areas I'm talking about. It was put together during the time of colonization from Australia because Australia was the colonial power here until 1975, and when they left, so the healthcare gradually fell to pieces in a way. All the health center, health posts that had been placed in strategic position, you know, pretty much went to the dogs over the years. And we're looking at the sort of the future of healthcare in the sense of how telehealth and virtual health could perhaps in the future reconnect a lot of people that lost completely touch with medicine. And that's another reason as well, this act of sorcery, violence against sorcery accusation, the violence happens here because people just have completely disconnected from traditional medicine. There are no hospitals, there are no
That's what you
doctors
were
out there.
saying. Oh, that sounds great. Okay, where can people find your work?
Well, I have my own website where I put most of my work. I have also my company website which I'm about to launch now because we sort of revamped it. But under my name and you will see most of my documentaries in there. You will see how much work I've done also on the issue of sorcery accusation related violence, but also on other issues that I came across, social issues in PNG. And so now I'm concentrating on health because I think they're connected, and I think hopefully technology can do something about this. Like you and I now, we're talking from Canada and Papua New Guinea, and the same can happen between doctors and patients in
Oh,
any part of the
absolutely.
world, you know.
Absolutely.
So technology, in a way, it's a great enabler, you know. So I think it can help and for this down here.
Okay, thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated your question, your time, and your capacity of listening to people. You seem to have a very good, you're a good listener.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. You take care. Bye.